This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The life-changing events of Easter remind us of Jesus' great sacrifice on the cross. However, some people may wonder, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus died and rose from the dead. Can I still have a relationship with him today? Where do we go to meet him? We're going to talk about that in our program this day, so please stay with us.
Why church? What value is there being involved in a church? Good question. Stay with us now and find out. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for the good news of the resurrection. Our Lord is risen, and because he lives, we'll live also. May this message, this Easter message, be our comfort and our hope and our strength for each day we live in this world. Help us, O God, to live as Easter people, confidently trusting in Christ's promises. In his name we ask this. Amen. Our reading for today is from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Don't doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Here ends our reading. Dear friends, I'm still celebrating Easter. I hope you are too. He is risen. He is risen indeed. You know that there are some great implications for us in that little statement. Some might say, yeah, it means that when I die, trusting in Jesus Christ, I know I'm going to heaven. And that's true. When we die trusting in Christ, the promise is that we're going to heaven and we'll spend eternity with the Lord. Christ's resurrection was the first fruits. But oftentimes, we forget that there's more. We forget the message that oftentimes we need to hear, and that's that Christ is still available. He's still with us. He's not some historical figure from the past who we only remember. He's someone with whom we can have a personal, dynamic, life-changing relationship with. Many people wrestle with that notion a bit. A story I heard out of the state of Iowa from a lady down there. "My aunt and uncle had a missionary family visiting," she writes. "When the missionary children were called in for dinner, their mother said, 'Be sure to wash your hands. You've got germs.' The little boy scowled and said, 'Germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. That's all I hear. And I've never, ever seen either one of them.'" Some do wonder, is that Jesus who walked the dusty roads of Galilee 2,000 years ago, who sat with those disciples and taught them the great truths of the kingdom, who did marvelous miracles, who died upon a cross and rose again, is he still available? Can a person still have a friendship with him today in 2015? How would you answer that question? The church would say, yes. The gospel writers all say yes. Witnesses throughout history would say yes. A personal relationship is possible for each one of you with the living Jesus Christ. You need never face another moment or another decision alone, because he lives. Those first disciples learned that in a personal way. through an encounter with the risen Christ. They didn't expect to see him. They were locked up in the upper room. They knew the tomb was empty. They were puzzled, confused, and suddenly there he was with them. No longer a corpse or a memory, but the living Savior. And again over the next many days, Jesus would pop in and surprise them. They began to look over their shoulders, I imagine, and peek around corners expectantly. It was as if he was trying to teach them, "I'll always be with you." After all, he did promise them, "I'll never leave you orphaned." And that's our promise too, by the way. Anyway, they were soon convinced that he's alive and he's available. And those once fearful men became confident, bold people, laying their lives down for the gospel. Another testimony to the truth of the resurrection of Jesus, by the way. Look how they ended their lives. They were martyred. Would you be willing to die for something that isn't true? Well, the truth is that he lives, and he's available to you and to me. Now, if you're wondering how you can have a personal relationship with this Jesus and just where you might station yourself to meet him and have a growing friendship with him, you will find our story of Thomas and the disciples helpful. For the simple message is, go to church. Go to church. Thomas wasn't there at the gathering when Jesus first appeared. He was off by himself, perhaps too despondent to even stay with the group any longer. He had a faith crisis going on. His master was dead, and all of Thomas's hopes and dreams were now gone. At that first appearance, though, Jesus commissioned the disciples, and he said, "As the Father sent me, so I send you to tell what's happened here." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit and tell the story about forgiveness in me." So what did the disciples do? They went and told Thomas. I guess evangelism begins right at home. They said, "We've seen the Lord." Thomas just snorted and said, "I tell you, unless I see and touch those wounds of Jesus, I won't believe." Well, a week later, Thomas was with the group. Guess who showed up? Jesus. He said again, "Peace be with you." And then he turned to Thomas and he showed his wounds in his hands and his feet and his side to him and said, "Go ahead, touch them and believe." Can you imagine what was going through Thomas's head at the time? How did Jesus know I said that? Even though I couldn't see him, he obviously was there all along listening in. And Thomas fell to his knees before Jesus and declared these great words of faith, "My Lord and my God." Takes us back to the very beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Full circle has come now. "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Because you've seen me, you now believe. How happy are those who believe without seeing." Those words are for us. What a powerful story. You see, there's a takeaway that you and I should not miss or forget, or heaven forbid, neglect. We learn that an ideal place to have an encounter with the risen Christ is in the community of faith, the church. Thomas missed it the first time. It was in the community of believers that Thomas had his encounter with the risen Lord. The church is a good place to station yourself if you want to draw near to Jesus. After all, didn't Jesus tell us, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them"? And now we see him making good on that promise. That first Easter, the days that followed, he continued to appear to them as they gathered as a community. There are certain places where you can anticipate having an encounter with the living Jesus and have him make a difference in your life, and church is one of those places. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about people gathered in his name. In worship, as the word is spoken and the gospel message is proclaimed. At the Lord's Supper, as we're handed the bread and the cup of wine and hear those wonderful words, "My body given for you, my blood shed for you." There at the Lord's table, we meet him in some mysterious and wonderful way in the bread and the wine. And we not only remember him, we actually encounter him at that supper. And he reminds us, "I'm still with you." It's a funny thing about us as human beings. When we start having doubts or we face a crisis, perhaps even the death of a loved one, I've seen it again and again, after the funeral, they disappear. Where do we usually run? Away from the church community. We prefer to linger alone in our doubts and our hurts. You know, staying away from the community is the worst thing you can do to yourself spiritually. It's during those times you most need to be surrounded by the loving embrace of faith-filled brothers and sisters in Christ. It's in the midst of that community of faith that the Savior typically shows up. I know the church has gotten a bad rap over the years. We read about church fights and scandals and sexual predators and prejudices and so on. And it causes people to skeptically ask, "Why church? Why bother with the church? All I need is my Jesus and my Bible and I'll be fine." Well, maybe you're someone who's been hurt along the way in the community of faith. It happens, I know. We're saints and sinners who sometimes step on each other's toes, unfortunately. We have our flaws and our failings to point to. As a pastor, I know that well. There's a story that's told of a mother who came, called up the stairs to her son. "Get up, it's time to go to church." The son said, "Oh, Mom, I don't want to go to church. The people there make fun of me. They don't really like me. Nobody listens to me. I'd rather stay home in bed." The mother said, "But son, you gotta go." The son said, "Give me two good reasons." She replied, "Well, for one thing, you're 42 years old, and for another, you're the minister." The church is not perfect by any means, but personally, I'd be lost without it. It's among fellow believers that I've had my own encounters with the risen Christ and growing in my faith. It's in hearing the Word of God preached in a powerful way. I remember when I was away from my faith, it was listening to my father-in-law, Homer Larson, that really turned me around, and I experienced Christ's grace. Well, this was Thomas's experience. He met Jesus at church, at the gathering of believers. It's a real gift, not to be neglected. But the other thing I want us to take note of in this episode is as the church, I think we see the church at its finest, and we need to look at that as members of the church. The disciples obediently went to the first person within their sphere of influence, Thomas, and they told him the news. This is where our best witnessing can actually be done, within our own range of influence with friends and family. The disciples, though, ran into doubt and skepticism, didn't they? But notice, they didn't turn their backs on Thomas. They didn't write him off as a casualty or a loss. they brought Thomas along to the next gathering. And here is the church at its best. They believed for him. And you can bet that they practically yanked him to that upper room as they invited them to accompany them for that gathering. They wanted him present, even with his doubts. And lo and behold, you know what happened. Thomas had an encounter with Jesus. The message of the Christian Easter community needs to be, no matter where you are in your relationship with Christ, we're glad you're here. We want you to be here. The message needs to be, come with us. Stay with us. Even if you're experiencing some doubts in your life and you're not sure what to make of all of this. Sometimes, I know, people go through spiritual crises like Thomas did. There are times when faith gets shaken. The church is at its finest when it huddles around such people and puts their arms around them and says, we're glad you're here. We want you here. We care about you. Pastor William Willimon is a great Methodist preacher, written many books, tells a story about a church doing its job for one of its members. He writes, a few summers ago, a boy in our church returned home from his first year at college. He appeared at my office to tell me that I wouldn't be seeing him at church while he was home over the summer. When I asked him why, he told me, well, you see, I've been doing a lot of thinking about religion while I was at college, and I've come to the conclusion that there's not much to this religion thing. I have found that I don't need the church to get by, he said. I responded by saying that I found all that interesting. He said, aren't you worried? I thought you'd go through the roof when I told you this. I'd known this boy, you see, for 5 years, had baptized him a couple years ago on a profession of faith, and had watched him grow during his high school years. He came from a difficult family situation. The church had been very interested in him and had a hand in making it possible for him to go to college. No, I'm not overly concerned, I said. I'll be watching to see if you can pull it off. I told him, what do you mean pull it off, he said. I don't understand. I'm 19. I can do anything I want to do, can't I? When I was 19, I thought I was on my own too, Willimon said. I'm saying that I'm not so sure you'll be able to get away with this. He was confused. Why not, he asked. Well, for one thing, you're baptized. So what does that have to do with anything, he asked. Well, I said, you try forsaking it, rejecting it, forgetting about it, maybe you'll find out. I can't figure out what being baptized has to do with me, he said. I responded, for one thing, there are people here who care about you. They made promises to God when you were baptized. You try not showing up around here this summer, and they'll be nosing around asking you what you're doing with your life, what kind of grades you made last semester, what you're doing with yourself. Then there's also God. No telling what God might try with you. From what I've seen of God, once he claims you, you don't get off the hook so easily. He's relentless in claiming what is his. And in baptism, God says you belong to him. The boy shook his head in wonder at this strange, unreasonable brand of reasoning and more or less stumbled out of the door of my study. In a week or so, he was back at his usual place in the second pew. The baptizers had done their work. God's possessiveness had remained firm. Wonderful. Listen to this testimony of the church at its finest from a lady in my congregation. She writes, Jesus is alive. Jesus lives in the loving hearts of the ladies that attend Tuesday morning Bible study with me. I have belonged to this group for 7 years. I just recently lost my dad. I can't imagine going through a loss like this without my loving Christian friends. What a better place to be or to meet Jesus than in a small group. These are the friends that will pull together and reach out to you in love when you need it the most. I experienced this love and support during my dad's surgery and days following. I had prayer warriors lifting my dad's needs up to God day and night. God heard our prayers and took my dad home for his healing. Then my sisters came to my rescue once again. They held my hands and prayed with me in my kitchen. They filled my refrigerator and freezer with meals, and they were a loving presence at my dad's celebration of life service. The comfort and love I have felt these past couple of weeks is nothing short of the living presence of Jesus Christ, alive and well. What a blessing, the community of faith taking care of its own. Listen, dear friend, he's risen. He's risen indeed. And you can meet him and experience his love and power in your life. Where? In his church. Thanks be to God for the church. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the church, the community of faith. What a blessing it is to have a family of faith to walk through life with, to turn to, and to count on when we're hurting. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance that we can actually meet Jesus as we connect with others in the church. Help each of us, O God, to be a Christ follower that not only asks what the church can do for me, but to be one who asks, what can I do for my brothers and sisters in Christ, so that they might grow in their relationship with Jesus and know that they are cared for. In his name we ask this. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped you to hear Jesus calling out your name, asking you to be a witness to his resurrection power. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry dependent upon the gifts from our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry to enable us to enlarge our broadcast area. We now broadcast over 30 radio stations in 12 states, shortwave in Europe, and on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. For information on how to include Christian Crusaders at your will, please contact our office at 1-888-693-2484. We thank all who support this ministry with their prayers and their gifts. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. You can also find us on the internet anytime at www.christiancrusaders.org. We're happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was our speaker, Reverend Steve Kramer, senior pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.